This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
You are actually radioactive, and everything alive is.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service. Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Maria Margaronis, and this is our celebration of community radio for World Radio Day.
Why, I am your weatherman today. This evening will be skinwas with 60% chance of ashwalash, becoming skinwas before the inauch and a low of 6 for the nighttime forecast.
Slow down with us and tune in to a tiny station broadcasting from a trailer by the wide Bellacoola River on Canada's Pacific coast.
You're listening to 91.1 FM Nakhalk Radio, broadcasting the laws of the lands and waters.
Dadala is the station manager.
I'm here at the river. It's provided nourishment to our people, and it's special to me for the relationship that I had growing up with my grandfather, my papa. When I was young, he thought I was ready to go fishing, and he would row with the oars down the river, and I would cast the net. And he shared with me this phrase, "Ktamkait," means cast the net, "Ktamkait."
The Nukhalk people have lived for thousands of years among the snowy peaks and deep forests of the Bellacoola Valley. Almost wiped out by smallpox brought by settlers in the 19th century, they've survived repeated attempts to erase their culture. The whole Nukhalk nation numbers just 2,000 or 3,000 people.
We really wanted to figure out how we could help save the Nukhalk language, because we were getting down to very, very few speakers. You could count them on your hands almost.
So in 2014, a group of young Nukhalkum decided to fill the airwaves with their language while learning it themselves.
I'm Siltslani or Banshee Hanyus, and I am the executive director of Nukhalk Radio. I live in Nukhalkalumkh, which is Nukhalk territory, in Bellacoola, in so-called British Columbia, so-called Canada.
Did you grow up speaking Nukhalk?
I grew up with my grandparents, and they spoke Nukhalk to each other, but they didn't speak it to me. And it wasn't until maybe 5 years ago that I talked to my grandmother about it.
When you were born, did they teach you English? Did your mom and dad
teach me what?
English, or was it Nukhalk?
Just Nukhalk. They didn't teach us any English at all. When we were small, we just spoke Nukhalk. That's why it was so hard for me when I went to residential school. We had to not talk Nukhalk at all. Kids were punished for that.
That's Siltslani's grandmother speaking on a podcast she made for the radio.
Most of the elderly people in our community went to residential school where they were not allowed to speak the language. They would be physically beaten for doing so. So there was a lot of really severe anxiety and trauma around the Nukhalk language.
Canada's compulsory boarding schools for Indigenous children were funded by the government and run mostly by churches. Notorious for mistreating and abusing kids as young as 3 or 4, the system continued into the 1970s.
Children were forcibly taken away, taken from their families, taken from their parents without permission. So it completely disrupted a way of life. It disrupted a community. And that's why Nukhalk Radio, I feel, is so important, because it's about not so much just teaching the language, but also trying to heal what happened.
Why has it been important to revive and preserve this language? What's lost when a language dies?
What's lost? Well, you know, I think that sense of identity. Growing up, I didn't really feel like I was a Nechalk. We grow up not really knowing the fullness of our culture, the way that we do our ceremonies, or how the ancestral governance works, or, you know, even where we come from.
Sisen he kila, sisen he kila, sisen he kila.
Yo.
Yo, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
And am I saying your name right? Is it Quach?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Quach. It comes from Raven saying his own name when he was first created, like Quach, Quach, Quach. Insta quach, as colleagues dominate sto, wich nuchalculum. I am quach, I'm also known as colleagues. I'm from the lands of the Nuchal. I was born and raised here in Nuchal territory, and how I became involved with Nuchal radio was after the Idle No More movement in Turtle Island here. Four of us came together and wanted to capture the energy of that movement as we knew it would dissipate over time.
In 2012, Indigenous people across Canada occupied public spaces with marches and traditional dances in protest at a new law that would restrict their land rights.
So we had a potluck dinner here at my house and sat around a little round wooden table and talked about different ideas. And I think it was Sinchekila who mentioned that the elders, as far back as the 60s, were talking about our own radio station. And so we grabbed onto that idea and we turned it into reality.
Originally, we were just like, we're going to start a pirate station out of Quach's basement. And that was the plan. And then I found a bit of money through a grant. So we were able to buy equipment. We also went to our hereditary leadership to ask their permission if we can start the radio station.
But at the start, nobody wanted to be on the radio. We were quite shy people, I think. And I was the only voice on the radio. And I actually changed my voice so that people wouldn't know who it was.
Hello, family. 91.1 FM, New Hulk Radio.
Nobody knew for a while, and then people were like, that almost sounds like Quach. One of the very first things we did with Nuchalk Radio was call our people together to help raise a totem pole to recognize our Ulagan, our Sputch, as our Sputch collapsed and disappeared, and we've been working hard to bring them back.
Ulagan, or Sputch, a little fish that spawn in the Bellacoola River, a traditional staple of the Nuchalk diet.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking to flip the switch and turn on the microphone.
Good day, Nuchalk Territory. Thank you, Creator, for yet another beautiful day today here in unsurrendered, unrelinquished, sovereign Nuchalk Territory. You know what today is? That's right. The last day of the third moon when herrings spawn. It also happens to be that today is everything Sputch. 11:30, move the pole. 1 o'clock, ceremony. Feast at 5. Remember your spoon and feast bowl or plate or cup or whatever it is that you choose to eat with. Why?
My original thoughts at the time of what it would look like was an antenna attached to the side of my house hooked up to a computer in the basement that was just playing old recordings.
Now some general botanical words in Bellacoola. Bark.
Stwinlitz, stwinlitz.
And the word for an animal hide?
Stwin, stwin.
Any berry or fruit, wild or tame?
Skalouch, canoe?
That was Quach's great-grandmother, Dr. Sisine Margaret Siwalas, telling an interviewer the Nuchalk names of plants. The radio station has digitized dozens of reel-to-reel recordings of Nuchalk elders made by anthropologists and linguists, and it still plays out those spirit voices from midnight to 4 a.m. in a show called Real Late Night.
I didn't speak our language, so a lot of what we were playing on the radio, I had no idea what it was. Like, what are they talking about? And then over the years, I started understanding what these things were. I was like, oh, I know that story now.
The story of the four carpenters. I'll do my best here. I am learning as I go. Why? Alla kwashtani mwason kwats. Dich tch dinumau da tluk damanst ach. In the beginning of the universe, there was the Creator.
Are there some stories that particularly resonate for you?
One of my personal favorites is how the raven became black. Raven was created to be this beautiful bird with all these different colors, but raven was getting picky and wanted this wing to be this color instead, and this wing to be that color, and I want to change my leg to this color. Then finally, the Asquindam, the one with the plan, got upset with him and said, throw ashes on him and make him black. Then when I was in university, I was in the animal course, and they explained that ravens under certain light are rainbow colored. And it just hit me, like, wow, our stories aren't just stories, they're science. And so that really, really opened my eyes.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, like, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.
What were some of the words in Nuchalk that you learned as a child?
I learned the word for maggots.
What's the word for maggots?
Gukskis, and I learned mukla and doba, belly button.
Yo, Insla, Bisla, and it's time for Nuchalk Radio 91.1 FM.
Doba is that classic example that we all know, that we grew up knowing and not really knowing the English for. For us, it's doba, and that's just how it is, and what it is. It's a doba. Why, yaus, madame, hooks, yedis inach, yedis song, and sta dadala.
A few intimate Nuchalk words have survived in everyday speech, and intimacy is key to the language show Dadala hosts with his partner, Chimchimana. It's Nuchalkum, speak Nuchalk. Here they are, talking about how to say, be careful.
Ola umatnu, watch where you're going, you know. I often have to say that to Chimchimana, because she's always just tripping.
Yeah.
Always tripping, you know. We go out, and sometimes we're on a short hike or something.
Yeah.
There are rocks.
Sometimes we're just walking.
Yeah.
I'd be tripping. I have the tendency where I need to walk and watch where I'm going actively, or I will trip.
She's got two left feet, that's why.
Yes.
So the language, you know, it is a difficult one. It's quite unique with its sounds, I think. Sometimes the language is referred to as a whisper language, There's a really good recording that was done with my great-grandfather. He was a Steldam. He was a hereditary leader, what they would call a chief. It did sound as if, you know, he was whispering. You have a lot of vowelless words and even phrases.
Do you have a favorite Nuchalk word?
Yeah, I do actually. I really like a lot of the vowelless words. One of my favorite words is the word.
Say that again.
It means belongings. And then, you know, we can change the word and say. Then it means like tools and things that you work with. So one thing that I've learned with the language is that it is a different way of thinking. You know, in our language, we have something that's called bukaltnihik. What that means is consideration for those that are yet to come. So every little thing that we might do is for the future.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nuskamata.
Nuskamata is a Nuchalk musician and campaigner.
Are there things that you are now able to say in Nuchalk that you feel can't be said in English?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, actually, because our language comes directly from our relationship with the land, and it comes with our relationship with our community and our worldview and our perspective. Like, Nuyayant means like you're cloaking yourself in generosity. When you accept something from somebody, you're giving them an opportunity to be generous. And when you give something to somebody, you're giving them an opportunity to learn to receive. And there's no feeling of like, you owe me. But the more you give, the more wealthy that you are considered.
We certainly don't have that word in English.
No. Yeah.
I'm beginning to see how deeply the Nuchalk language is rooted in Nuchalk territory and history. Language, land and culture are really just one thing. The Nuchalk have lived in the Bellacoola Valley for some 10,000 years. Every peak and lookout has its sacred story.
These mountaintops are sacred to us. They're part of our original ancestral stories of coming to these lands. And, you know, as the glaciers recede due to global warming, there are new areas that are being opened up that mining companies are hungry for. So it's a really dangerous situation for our water, for our salmon.
In 2021, a Canadian company called Juggernaut Exploration arrived in Nuchalk territory with permits to drill for gold on sacred peaks whose waters drain into the Bellacoola River. Nuchalk and non-Nuchalk residents came together to issue them with an eviction order. Nuskamata led the campaign, supported by the radio.
And you managed to push them out?
Yeah. You know, we pushed out the one company. They said that it was because the gold in Nuchalk territory was no good. So we like to scream that from the mountaintops and saying, like, don't come here. You're not going to make any money. We're going to fight you. Go somewhere else.
Ever since Captain John Vancouver sailed up the Bellacoola River in 1783, outsiders have coveted the fertile Nuchalk lands, rich in fish and forest. It was during the first gold rush in 1862 that settlers deliberately let smallpox infect the Nuchalk. Within 2 years, a population of some 35,000 was reduced to just 300 people. Forced to abandon their villages, they were corralled into the Bellacoola Reservation. Their essential potlatch ceremonies were banned. Then came the residential schools and the clear-cut logging and commercial fisheries that depleted the valley's natural wealth and left poverty behind.
Greetings, my name is Sinhekila, and I come from the Nuchalk Nation. My official job title is Director of Culture for Nuchalk Nation Administration, and my traditional title is Alk, a ceremonial speaker and historian.
Sinhekila's not yet 40, young for the role of Alk. He spent years studying with the elders, repeating Nuchalk stories over and over again till he had them from memory.
Long ago, the mystery dance was a dance where the Pusio dancer would have some type of mysteries come over him. they would take control of him. He wouldn't be able to stop dancing until the community was able to guess his mysteries.
The Alk is responsible for many rituals, including funeral ceremonies.
Oh, yes, it's been quite rough in the community lately. We've had a few passings, and it's always hard when it's young people, and it's even harder when it's in the same family. We had a funeral on Friday for Kakma. She was a few years older than me, and she leaves behind 5 children. And then just yesterday, we heard that Kakma's brother had also had passed. So now we'll be preparing for another funeral.
I'm so sorry. What's happening to these young people?
Well, a lot of it is alcohol-related. You know, it's part of that intergenerational trauma. And this is a tough one to talk about.
It is tough, but it is talked about on the radio, a place to break the silence. Nihau Hauda, DJ and host of the Palkhit Morning Show.
Let's just really be honest about the community and alcoholism. It's obviously a big struggle that we face each and every day. We're faced not only with alcohol, but the drugs and the heavy drugs that are coming into the community and suicide rates. And I know even for myself, I was sober for over 3 months. New Year's Eve came. I went out one night. So it's like starting back over in my sobriety, because I know it's always a constant battle. It's a spiritual battle that we always face. And it's just to acknowledge it so that you can help create that positive change in your life.
Our grandmothers and our grandfathers that were taken to the residential schools, they were heavily abused there, traumatized. You know, these white guys with their clipboards, they show up into the community interviewing, and if the children can't respond in English, then they mark them down to be taken that very day. Our people come back from these residential schools traumatized, rejected from the wider world, and so all they can do is numb the pain. And then they become parents, and then their children now have to become parents to their siblings.
It's the children of those children who are now reaching back to their roots to build a bridge to the future, touched and moved by memories of their grandparents. Some of the songs you've been hearing, sung by Kwach, Dadalan Chimchimana, Nuskmata, and Rola, come from the album Nuskimta, produced by the radio station in 2024 to mark its 10th anniversary.
What we were doing really was creating a new genre of new folk music, blending it with modern beats and modern instruments. There was an actual thunderstorm that had been recorded that was incorporated into the song. It was just really open and fun. It was very playful. We had deer antlers and deer hooves, and we had a big log drum, and we had hand drums, and there was just this kind of feeling of freedom. Hoi.
No one would say it's easy to bring a language back from the brink of extinction in the 21st century. But Bella Kula is tuning in to Nuchalk Radio, where little language lessons are sprinkled throughout the day on music shows, the weather forecast, and community news.
And again, a reminder about the phrase of the day for today, Alti Songt, which is Is Kumlts. Is Kumlts. Is Kumlts is our phrase of the day.
Yeah, yeah. I remember years ago, I think in 2009, asking Sinhekila, how do you say I love you? And he's like, Shkumtsinu. Like, I'd never heard it before that time. And now in the community, you hear it everywhere.
Do you think this is because of the radio?
Oh, yeah, totally. The radio station has such a profound impact because you can hear our language every day. When I'm in my car, I can just repeat everything that I'm hearing. Like, just with the weather, I've learned how to say, like, rain and fog, for example, Ashkulash and Iknuas.
And with the language comes a whole rich hinterland, the Nuchalk way of thinking and being in the world, living for future generations, cloaking yourself in generosity, and much more. There are practical plans for the future, a new big house for community ceremonies, cultural work as a way out of poverty. And there's something else too, a rediscovered connection to deep time. Here's Kwach, the raven.
So we're at a time of great change where we're going to have to adapt as we move forward. Our people have been here so long, we have stories from before there were trees, stories of before there were fish in the river. So we have in our stories teachings on how to survive in a wide variety of circumstances. And all this events of modern times is just such a little sliver of our existence compared to how long we've been here and how old these stories are. We're one of the last places to be colonized, so we still have a strong connection, even though it's been disrupted, to our lands, to our stories, and to ourselves. And I think a lot of the world is lost. They don't know where they're from. They don't know their stories. And I think our teachings can really help the world as a whole understand itself better, so the world can heal. As the world is in trouble, it needs healing.
You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service, a Storyscape production presented by me, Maria Margaronis, and produced by David Gorin. Stut Winitskwa thanks to everyone at Nuchalk Radio, and happy World Radio Day. Why?
Thank you all for tuning in to Eaton Chalkum here on 91.1 FM Nuchalk Radio. And Sta Dadala.
And Slachim Chimene.
Shaimi Pskal Keltumit Surap. Always take care of yourselves, folks.
Love yourselves.
Ach, kukmana.
It is not goodbye.
I'm Sarah Trelevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, like, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.